Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today we arrive at Luke chapter 16. It's been described as one of the most difficult parables in the whole New Testament. And there are many different interpretations of the parable. Now, upon hearing the parable, what might have struck you is, what is Jesus trying to say? Right? That's always the question when we come to Jesus' parables. Who are the characters? What's going on? What is the main point? What is Jesus trying to say here? Especially when we hear these words from our Savior. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Really? Commended? Is Jesus trying to tell us to be shrewd? What does shrewd even mean? One dictionary defined it as such: crafty, inclined to deal with others in a clever, underhanded way. And you heard it right. This man is commended. Now we need to be careful with this parable, not to make too many one-to-one comparisons, because every analogy breaks down at one point or another. And so if we try to attach things too closely on a one-to-one level, then we start to imagine that God wants us to be dishonest. And that's not at all what the parable is saying. But we'll dive right in. When the parable begins, the rich man has a manager, someone who is in charge of his possessions, his business affairs, and we find out that this manager is wasting. Now, we don't know what sort of waste this is. We don't know if, you know, he's out there digging holes and just burying his master's money. We don't know if he's, you know, just throwing it out of the, you know, off the back of a horse. We have no clue how he's wasting money, but we know he's wasting it. And to be honest, it's pretty easy to fill in the gaps. Why? Because we're the masters of waste. We are masters of waste. And if you haven't figured it out yet, you are the unjust steward. You are the dishonest manager. We waste. It's true. We waste what has been entrusted to us. Our merciful God has given us everything that we have, but we don't always use it the way we should. But today, instead of the usual characters, we're going to focus on something else. Time. Oh, how we waste our time. Time is a gift from God just as well as everything else is. But think about how easy it is for us to waste time, especially in our modern age with computers and TVs and smartphones. We sit in front of the computer. Heaven forbid you log into Facebook and lose an hour of your day. We look at the TV and we all know that not all the shows or all the movies we watch are as wholesome as they should be. Or we sit there staring at our phones, doing who knows what. You see, we're masters of waste. The truth is that all these things are good. I mean, computers are good. In fact, I don't know how I would write a sermon by hand. Pencil and paper, do those things still exist? Yes, they do. But no, I need my computer, right? It's so much quicker, so much nicer, so much easier for me to be able to type up a sermon and, you know, consult different resources on the internet and things like that. Computers are good. But at the same time, computers can be used to waste our time. Same thing with TV. You know, over in Clinton, we're doing our first Saturday Bible study, and we're using a DVD. And so every first Saturday of the month, I carry a TV over to the church so we can watch the DVD introduction to the Bible study. Without TVs? Not possible. You see, so TVs can be good too. And think about the cell phone, right? Cell phones are good. In fact, I use my cell phone every Sunday to record the sermon so that you guys can have it online for your listening if you miss it, or if you want to go back and consult it, or if you want to listen to it again. And so cell phones, they're a good thing. These are all gifts: computers, TV, cell phones, everything else we have. They're good gifts from God. But if we're really honest with ourselves, they're a time dump. We so often use the good gifts of time and technology that God gives us for no good. We use them in a way where we're sort of squandering time and squandering resources that God has given us. And to be honest, this is just the tip of the iceberg. If you want to think about waste, we could examine how we waste money, possessions, talents, abilities. We waste all the time. We use everything God has given us for our own selfish desires, for our own selfish gains. Sounds a lot like the unjust manager from the parable. But now that we know where we fit in, we can continue. Now, this is where we need to be very careful, because when we know that we are the unjust manager, there is a danger in saying that that means God is the master. But we can't do that. We can't do that because this man is commended for his shrewdness, and that would mean that God wants us to be dishonest. And so the only way to interpret it is to say that God doesn't play a part. God is not a character in the parable. But as we go back, the manager is fired for his waste, and he realizes something. He's stuck. He is literally at the end of his rope. He knows he's done for completely. He gets caught in his sin. There's no denying it. He's going to have the books taken away from him. So what does he do? The same thing anybody would do in the same situation. You take stock of what the situation looks like, right? The man recognizes, well, the management's going to be taken from me, but I still have the books. I haven't turned them in yet. And so what is the word that's used? He acts quickly. Quickly. Taking stock, he says, well, I'm not able to beg. You know, I can't work. I can't dig the ground. But I do still have these books, and I can better myself with shrewdness, with craftiness, with dishonesty. And so he does. Time is of the essence, and he runs to his master's debtors and writes them all discounts. That way people might recognize his mercy. People might recognize, you know, how great of a guy he is, and welcome him into their home. You see, with great zeal, this man serves himself. Now here's the application. We all know how to use our wealth for our own good. We all know how to leverage ourselves into a better position. To be honest, as sinners, shrewdness comes easy. It is very easy for us to be shrewd. It's because we're so zealous for one thing. The Greek uses the word mammon. That means wealth, possessions, and all manner of riches in this world. That's what the sinner is zealous for. But then Jesus drops a truth bomb. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Again, there in the text, the word money is that Greek word mammon. You can only spend your life in devotion to one master. Who is it? Is it God? Or is it the riches of the world? Is it God? Or is it yourself? You see, it is so easy for us to be zealous for this life and for us to be lacking in zeal when it comes to the things of God. But what would the Lord have us do? Rely on Him. Rely on His mercy. Remember, He is the one who gives us everything. Clothing, shoes, house, home, wife, animals, land, all that we have. God gives it all to us, even to the point where He gives us His one and only Son. Everything we have in this life is a gift. An undeserved gift that God gave us of His mercy. And so He wants us to rely on Him. To rely on His gifts. Take stock. Look at your life. What can you do? Can you beg your way into a greater place in this life? Can you beg your way into heaven? No. But God in His mercy grants the things of this life. God in His mercy grants you salvation and a heavenly dwelling place. Can you work? Can you work to get you know, way more in this life? Well, sure. Can you work to get to heaven? You see, even if you work hard in this life, it is still a gift from God. And so too is your heavenly dwelling place. The truth is that everything we have, everything we are, everything we will be is from the Lord. There is no life on this earth apart from God, nor is there eternal life apart from the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, this is the best part about this parable. Because in order to understand the parable, we first have to know that God is so gracious and merciful in giving us everything that we have. He's given you it all. Forgiveness, life, salvation, everything you could want now, everything you need for eternity. It's all yours now. Right now, today, you have every good thing because God loves you that much. That is how zealous God is for you. That is how much He cares for you. But that brings us back to the parable and Jesus' explanation of it. Realizing God gives us such great gifts, the question is what do we do with them? Are we zealous to serve Him with these same gifts? Are we zealous to be in it for ourselves? God is merciful to us, and He doesn't want you to be zealous for this life. Don't let the mammon of this world consume your thoughts. Instead, be zealous to use your time, your resources, your abilities to serve His kingdom. Be zealous in church attendance. Be zealous in opening your Bible. In fact, be zealous in coming to Bible study. It's only an hour earlier on Sunday morning, an hour that is better spent in God's Word than sleeping or doing whatever else it is that you do before you come to church. Be zealous for the things that will last forever. Be zealous to hear that your sins are forgiven every Sunday morning. Be zealous. Wake up with the sign of the cross to remember what God has done for you in baptism. Be zealous to be here and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ on your lips and in your mouth. Be zealous to receive that proclamation over and over again that your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Because in the end, when we are zealous for the things that are eternal, they follow us into eternal life. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. What deserves commendation? Well, God would say that living a life of faith does. Receiving the forgiveness that Christ has won for you deserves commendation. Living a life using your gifts, talents, abilities, your time, your resources for God's kingdom deserves commendation. Believing what Jesus has done through His cross and resurrection deserves commendation. My friends, you are forgiven for any waste, for any sin, for every sin. Jesus has taken care of it. Thanks be to God that He has given us every good thing, both physical and spiritual, in this life and in the next. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.